the applause of men is going to seem awfully empty when you stand before Christ and He hands out rewards and in essence tells you, you already got yours. You're going to see that you traded it for a couple of empty claps of the hand from people that don't even care about you.
We're so glad you've joined us for today's edition of the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello, I'm Bill Wright. Last time, Don began a new series on prayer with part one of a message titled, In the Secret Place. Don looked at how our society emphasizes self-promotion and getting noticed as a priority. In contrast, the Bible exhorts us to seek not the approval or attention of others, but rather to please God. Today, you'll be challenged to check your motives for prayer and to consider what reward you should be looking for. Turn again to Matthew chapter 6, and let's join Don Green now in The Truth Pulpit.
Basically, what I want to do, I just want to lay out the issue, kind of introduce the text to you. We're going to be in a position to have the Lord really encourage us with what He says here in this passage. Point number one, what is Jesus saying here? What is He saying to you? Point number one, check your motives. Point number one, check your motives as you live the Christian life. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness. It means that you need to turn your attention to this issue. He says, think about this with an air of caution. It's as though you were walking near the edge of a cliff that would plunge you to your death if you stepped over the line. And He says, beware, there's danger here. Take note of this if you're one of My disciples. Take note of this in your pursuit of Me so that you can avoid this danger and know instead the blessing of God. He says, watch your heart as you practice your righteousness. Watch your heart as you practice, use the old word, piety. Those deeds that express your devotion to Christ. Check your motives as you live out your spiritual life so that you have a clear idea of who it is that you're trying to please. And He says, look at the text with me again, chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. It's not that it's wrong to practice your righteousness. Of course, that would be silly to say something like that. No, the issue here is why you do it. Before men to be noticed by them. That word for to be noticed, it's the word that we get the English word theater from. We get our English word theater from this word, before men to be noticed by them. He says, what are the motives of your heart as you do these deeds of righteousness? And this is the theme throughout this scripture. Look at chapter 6, verse 2 again and kind of pick these things out as I go through here. He says in verse 2, beware of giving to the poor so that you may be honored by men. Or the hypocrites do it so that they may be honored by men. There's that man-pleasing attitude that He calls attention to. In verse 5, He says, the hypocrites love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners. Why? So that they may be seen by men. Verse 16, the hypocrites fast. They neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. See the common theme here running throughout this? Four different times Jesus has emphasized a warning against doing something in order to be honored by men. And notice how, just think about this, beloved, just how sick this is. That's right, I use the word sick to describe this. To put a mask on your face, as it were, saying, I am seeking to please God here with my prayers and with my giving and with my fasting. and you're doing it to be in order to be seen by men. That's what the Pharisees were doing. And it was all a mask. It was all a theater. It was all a show to make those people think that they were something inside that they really weren't. They didn't care about pleasing God. They wanted men to applaud them. So Jesus is not criticizing giving or praying or fasting. What he is criticizing is using those acts to get the praise of men while you're putting on this act that you're really seeking to please God. Hear me, beloved. Why, the reason that you do something has great significance in the eyes of God. He looks straight past all the external appearances that we can only see in each other. He looks straight past all of that and looks straight at your heart and says, why are you doing that? Now, beloved, that just spiritually undresses us, doesn't it? This just lays us all open and bare before the one with whom we have to do. He looks on your heart and he calls them hypocrites. Stage actors. Someone who is hiding his true identity. Someone who is playing make-believe. Putting on a display for his chosen audience so that they will congratulate him on his deeds of righteousness. And he says it's all unacceptable. There is no reward from God for that. You, as my beloved disciple, he says, be on guard. Don't fall into this pit. Check your motives, he says. And as you check your motives, and what will help purify your motives as you do this, point number two, choose your reward. Choose your reward. Basically, you have two choices that Jesus lays out here. He says you can choose the applause of men, or you can choose the approval of God. You can't have it both ways. Again, we're still introducing the passage. Look at what he says here. The applause of men in verse 2. He says, when the hypocrites sound the trumpet when they give to the poor. Look at what he says at the end of verse 2. He says, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. In verse 5, when they pray on the synagogues to be seen by men, he says, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. And in verse 16, when they fast and neglect their appearance to be noticed by men, he says at the end of verse 16, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. That phrase, they have their reward in full, fascinating, fascinating phrase in the Greek language as it was used at the time of Christ. This is a technical expression that was used in business contexts and was used to draw up a receipt, kind of marked paid in full, and you'd hand the receipt to somebody to show that the transaction was completed. When Jesus says these hypocrites have received their reward in full, it is though they had already been given a receipt and they have absolutely no further claim to reward for what they have done. Jesus says, it's the praise of men that you sought. It's the praise of men that you get. The transaction is over. He says, when you do it to be noticed by men, and they notice, you have what you were after. You have your reward in full. That's as good as it's going to get. Beloved, seeking your best interests as I preach here, would you just make it really clear in your mind that the applause of men is going to seem awfully empty when you stand before Christ and he hands out rewards and in essence tells you, you already got yours. In the presence of Shekinah glory, You're going to see that you traded it for a couple of empty claps of the hand from people that don't even care about you. What is the sense in that? Hold that up in your mind and condemn it and say, this isn't even in my best interests, let alone dishonoring God. Sometimes I've called this the Irv Jezik rule. How many of you know Irv Jezik? That's a joke. If any of you had held up your hand, I would have fallen over dead from shock. 20 years ago or so, Irv Jezik was a client of mine. In the law practice. That's why I didn't think you'd know him. And if he gets a hold of this tape, man, that'll just be the providence of God. That'd be awesome. But Irv Jezik was an old, crusty guy, impossible to please. But I had to work for him, and I had to handle his cases and try to make him happy with what I did. He'd answer the phone, Jezik! You know, a real inviting guy to talk to, you know? And I used to just spend hours worrying about how I was going to make Irv Jezik happy. It was just a predominant thing because he was an important client to me at the time. You know what? 5 years later, I had no idea where he was. He wasn't anywhere to be found. I haven't seen or heard of him for 15 years. And yet I wasted so much time and energy trying to get his approval. Beloved, that's a business kind of example, but it's the same way in your spiritual life. Understand this. The people that you're trying to please and impress, probably most of them aren't even going to be around in 5 years. Their approval is meaningless in the big scheme of things. What you need to train your heart to do is to say, I want the approval of God. And if men don't clap for me along the way, I'm utterly indifferent to that because I'm living for an unseen kingdom. I'm living according to and seeking a secret reward that God Himself will give me, a reward that will never fail, that will never fade away. That's what I'm living for. You say the men aren't going to notice me in the process? I don't care. Really, I just don't care. Is what you've got to say to yourself. And be really firm with your heart until you embrace that and say, yes, of course. Because the real danger is that you go and you start making important life decisions. I used to talk to seminary students about this. You go and make important life decisions about what you're going to do, and it's all governed by the fear of man and just seeking the approval of people that are around you. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. What a waste. There's no reward from God for that kind of man-seeking. And you end up doing things that you don't even care about to please people that won't even be there 5 years from now. Think, beloved, about what you're doing. And be very careful about who you let influence what you do. Because ultimately, you're living life, and I'm preaching for an audience of one. If I please God, it doesn't matter what you think, right? And if you please God in your life, it doesn't matter what I think. That's not to eliminate mutual accountability as we live together and all of that. But I'm talking about your heart motives that you have to examine and be so clear about. To take it down from the macro level to a minor level, here's a quick check to understand what our Lord is talking about. One that will make you smile rather quickly in embarrassment, perhaps. Most of you, if not all of you, pray at one time or another. And many of you have the opportunity to pray in front of other people as well as praying alone. Let me ask you a question that goes to the heart of this matter. How much more eloquent are your prayers when other people are listening? Why is it, and I've been guilty of this too, why is it that we can set off the spiritual fireworks when there's a group of people gathered around and we're called upon to pray, and you don't pray the same way when you're alone before God. Why is that, beloved? Man, this gets personal in a hurry, doesn't it? We have to deal with our hearts honestly. To the extent that you see that kind of stuff in you, you've got to say, you know what, I've got to change here. God, I want to change. I want to pray better in secret. I want to pray more passionately, more eloquently in private than I do in public. Because God, I want it to be unto your eyes, not to the eyes of men. So you can seek the applause of men with your religious devotion, with the way that you live your life. It's an empty, dead-end road that just runs off a cliff. I'd encourage you not to do that. I'd encourage you to orient your heart to the other reward that you can choose. It's a violently countercultural reward to seek in our day and age. But if you live with an eye toward God and you do things to please Him, rather than putting on an outward show to gain the applause of men, you can choose this reward, and it is the approval of God. The approval of the Creator of the universe. The Creator of your brain. The one who gave you life. The approval of the one who hung on a cross to redeem your soul. The approval of the eternal, unchanging God. That's the approval that you can find and know. Jesus promises it in this passage. Look at chapter 6, verse 4. He sets forth this contrast very compellingly. God or men? Verse 4, he says, give in such a way that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Wow! Wow, you mean God, I can do things that please you and that you will recompense in one way or another to me? You will reward me even if no one else sees it? When I'm down on my knees and I'm praying to you and I'm pouring my heart out to you, you value that so much that you'll reward me even if no one knows? Jesus says that's exactly right. In secret. And your Father will reward you. Look at the end of verse 6 as he talks about prayer. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 18. Do your fasting so it will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I'm just kind of summing up everything that we've talked about today. For you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, for you who follow Christ, part of your responsibility, part of bringing forth fruit in keeping with your true repentance, is that you set aside, as a fundamental tenet of your heart, you set aside doing what you do for the sake of gaining the notice and approval of men, particularly as it pertains to your private devotion toward God. By contrast, you do it for His approval. Whether men notice or approve is incidental. It is secondary. It does not affect what you do. It does not change your joy as you do it. It's not that we don't do anything in front of men. If that was the case, we would never preach. I have to preach in front of men because I don't like the way I look in a mirror, you know? It's not about what you do, but why you do it, is what I want you to see. If you're in public ministry, if you're leading different things, that's great. That's great. That's what God's called you to. What Jesus is saying here is guard your heart as you do it, so that your eye is always singularly focused on His approval. And this whole idea of being able to have the approval of God in the midst of the privacy of your life, For some of you, beloved, this can be a great encouragement. Please hear me on this. For those of you that are faithful in your service, but you feel overlooked. For the stay-at-home mom who's consumed with the routine duties of keeping house and raising kids. For the lonely widow confined at home, wondering why God still leaves her here with so much time on her hands. What I want to say to you is, look to this passage and find your encouragement. The things that you do outside the notice of men is carefully noted by God. And as you are faithful in those little tasks, seemingly little tasks, as you pray with no one calling day after day, and your mind is just focused on God, you can take heart knowing that those simple things that you do for His approval are things that He notices, and He is storing up great reward that will be according to the magnificence of His grace that He showers out upon you, even if you're not doing things that earn the praise and the attention of people in your spiritual circles. This is great. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Take it to the bank. Jesus does not lie. He will reward you. And you just store that up and you treasure it in your heart. God, here I am. No one sees this, but I know You do. And I bless Your name, and I offer what I do, these little things that I do, I offer them up as a sacrifice to You. God says, I see that. My blessed child, I'm going to reward that. Just wait. Just be faithful, and you'll see. Great encouragement. The contrast, the warning of this passage speaks to others of us. For some of you, you probably, hear me on this, you probably need to stop worrying about making sure that men see you and know how important your work or ministry is. These calculated things that you just drop into a conversation. Oh, you were doing that. Wow. Yeah, just stop it. And start doing things for the approval of God rather than calculating how you can impress men with your latest spiritual exploits. Please, just stop it. That is not the Christian life. Now, beloved, I understand. We're all convicted by this in one way or another. It is the nature of Jesus' words here in the Sermon on the Mount. He probes our hearts. He pokes and He prods until He hits something. When it convicts, let Him do His work. Let the scalpel cut. Let Him do it so that His work can change you. And understand, beloved, and I'm almost done here, we're not talking about external conduct. I'm not telling you to do better or try harder. That's not what I'm thinking at all. What we're talking about, what Jesus is talking about here, is a heart transformation and purified motives. When that gets straightened out in your heart, the other external stuff will take care of itself. But in the midst of the conviction that we all feel in words like this, beloved, take heart from the promise that He makes. As you concentrate your spiritual life away from the applause of men and toward the approval of God, know for a fact that our gracious God sees that. He approves of that. And the blessing and the love that He intends to pour out upon you for that is far greater than anything that your best acts could ever deserve. He's a gracious God, and He will reward you. Blessing now and blessing in heaven. Greater intimacy, greater assurance, greater power with God. And then a more abundant reward when we see Christ face to face. That's what you've got to focus your heart on, beloved. Focus your heart on His approval and let the applause of men come and go as it may.
A prayer that seems genuine externally but is not undergirded by a true heart to please God is quite simply an ineffective prayer. In our just completed message, In the Secret Place, Pastor Don Green has reminded us to always seek the approval of God over the applause of men. And Don has much more to say on the subject of prayer as our series, Inside Your Prayer Closet, continues on our next broadcast. Join us then here on the Truth Pulpit. Right now, Don's back here in studio with a special invitation.
Well, friend, if you are anywhere near the Cincinnati area and you don't have a good church home, I invite you to visit us at Truth Community Church. I'm in the pulpit almost every Sunday, and we have a loving congregation that would simply be thrilled to meet you and welcome you to our body. We are striving to manifest the principles that you heard taught today. Why not come and see us? Bill will help you find us on our website.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com for directions and service times. There you'll also find a link to Don's Facebook page. Once more, that's thetruthpulpit.com. And thanks for your support of this ministry. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, inviting you back next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.